Talk Sport. On air, online and on TV at Freeview Channel 723.
Hello, I'm Dave Spikey and you're listening to Hawksby and Jacobs on Talk Sport.
Yes, you certainly are. And here's an intriguing title for a book. Stephen Gerrard, Michael Owen and me. Mike Yates telling his story. He's written the book with Keith Miller. They're both with us in the studio. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
So, Mike, what made you want to tell your story? I mean, it's a kind of an interesting tale, I think, for any aspiring young footballer, isn't it?
Yeah. Originally, it was I wanted to give something back to my mum and dad. My dad had kept scrapbook, you know, from when I was a six-year-old, right up until I played first team at Dundee. And when I became a parent myself, I realised, you know, just how many sacrifices he'd made and my mum had made for me as a junior footballer coming through the ranks at an academy. And I wanted to give something back. Later on, when I finished playing, I became a coach. And when you're having conversations with a number of coaches in a room, you suddenly realise there's a number of players that have been released and you're asking questions, you know, where are they?
Hmm.
So the idea for the book then was to put something together. And the title, I think, says it all, which Keith came up with, is Stephen Gerrard, Michael Owen and me. Everybody knows who Stephen Gerrard and Michael Owen are, but who is me? The me, obviously, is me, Mike Yates, but it can be any of the many, many young footballers who dream of becoming and making it to the top and unfortunately falling away.
Keith, you work with Mike on the story, so what made you want to get involved?
Well, I have a great passion for football. I also taught in Barbados for 14 years at an all-boys school. So watching kids develop from 11 to 18-year-olds is not dissimilar from young footballers going from 6 to 18. When Mike mentioned to me the idea of doing it as a scrapbook, I said, I'd love to do it, but I don't do scrapbooks. If we're going to do it, let's do it properly. And the very first step, after coming up with the title, we got permission from the players and then eventually from their agents to use their names in the title. The very next step was to go and meet with Gordon Taylor, head of the PFA, essentially to say, you know, is this a decent idea? Is what we're doing, is it worthwhile? And his response was amazing because he basically said, I actually think it's something we should have done already. And we very much welcome your initiative and we will support it and endorse it as much as we can. And at that point, it stopped being a little bit of fun and a labor of love and became something that we both had a responsibility to deliver properly.
Sure.
It's so tough on kids who want to make it, and yet there's a kind of two-edged sword to this because I hear of players who do turn professional, who look like great prospects, suddenly get it all and then don't train on. Although they have careers in professional football, don't play Premier League football because somehow, you know, getting sort of 8-10 grand when you're sort of 17, 18, you know, is a lot of money and can go to your head.
I suppose there is an element of that, and like you say, how do you get the balance? How do you say to a player, look, your dream is real, but also, you know, be prepared for if you don't make it. And I think that's important. That's the job of the coaches, but also the support network around these young players. You know, the parents, the PFA do a great job of supporting young players, and obviously the coaches and the football club itself. Speaking from my experience at Liverpool, you know, the Liverpool way, if you like, is the fact that we have a fantastic football programme on the pitch, coaching young players to obviously, you know, get to the top, play for the Liverpool Football Club. But alongside that, you know, there is a brilliant programme that coaches and teaches players basic life skills so that if they don't make it, they can cope.
Big clubs get criticised, but like yourself, a lot of players can go through the big club and still have a career in professional football.
Yeah, you know,
so it's not, if you get cut by the big club, it's not the end of the world, is it?
No, it's not, and that's the point of the book. You know, you've got to stay mentally strong. I mean, for me, when Steve Highway came to my house and said, unfortunately, we're not going to give you a contract.
You've been there since you were 8 years old, and how old were you at this stage?
I was 18. So
it's difficult,
right? I'd gone through the system, you know, for 10 years. You know,
did you see it coming, Mike?
I'd lived and breathed it, you know.
Excuse me.
I defy any young player to believe that they're not going to make it. You program that way. It's been your dream from a young boy. And for me, I was seeing the likes of Robbie Fowler, Steve McManaman, Dominic Matteo, David Thompson, all those were breaking into the first team. So for us as young players, it was a reality. When you say, did I see it coming? There was one game, a Youth Cup game, and I was left out, and there was a number of players jumped ahead of me, and some younger players, and that was where I had an element of doubt. But up until that point, I firmly believed it was going to happen. I also was doing well, playing in a number of reserve team games, especially in the pre-season, you know, before at Euro 96. So when I did my first year of YTS, a number of players hadn't come back yet. So the first team and reserves trained together, and I had an opportunity to train and play there. We were going to play a game for the reserves against Bursko, which is my local team, which is something I was really looking forward to. I was playing well. You know, there was whispers around the corridors that I was going to get an opportunity. And in my mind, I firmly believed that I could get into the first team squad to go on the first team tour. Unfortunately, in the training session before the game, I broke my arm. So, I mean, looking back, everything happens for a reason. Yeah. But you can sit and ponder and wonder what if, but it's not worth doing that. The point is, you know, you've got to stay mentally strong, push it to one side and move on. I don't think I ever recovered from that.
Go on,
Paul. I'm just going to say, Keith, you're putting the book together with Mike. I mean, there must be some unrealistic expectations from somewhere. Does it come from parents? Not necessarily Mike's, but does it come from parents? Does it come from the clubs? Do the players themselves at a young age, are they allowed to get a bit too carried away with making it and not realising that they have to prepare to potentially fail?
Clearly, it will vary from individual to individual. And I would say that the clubs do everything within their capability to do the best to nurture the boys properly. Definitely, there's a case where parents, some parents, we emphasise, will have a false opinion about how well the boy is going to do or is not going to do. One of the things we did with the book, clearly we're showing the other side of football. Instead of the famous story of the celebrity, this is about the other 300,000 kids who get released. So one of the big things we've done is included interviews with high-profile people in the game, ranging from Jamie Carragher, Jamie Redknapp, Jason McAteer, Gareth Southgate, Gordon Taylor and so on, John Barnes, Ian Rush, to give their opinions about the development of young players. And they're very, very insightful and very interesting. And we've even done Mike's top 10 tips for young players and top 10 tips for parents. And when you have somebody like Philly Carragher, who's Jamie's dad, talk about how he managed Jamie's career, then hear Jamie talk about his son James, who's now at the Liverpool Academy. It's a great insight into the mechanics of all and how it all works.
You're still involved in football. You're back at Liverpool these days. You're involved with the club, aren't you?
Yeah, so now I'm a programme manager for the International Football Academy. So we have academies based all over the world, but we also run soccer schools at the academy. So it's great for me to still be involved. And going back to the days when I was coming out of football, when I got told I was going to be released, it was something that my mum and dad always spoke to me about, you know, just be prepared. You know, what if it doesn't happen? Have you got something else? Part of our programme at the club was to do a BTEC in finance, and also your coaching qualifications. I was fortunate that, you know, the coaches watched us work. Steve Highway saw that I had a talent for coaching. And being the visionary that Steve is, rather than wait till the end of my football career, he told me early that I wouldn't be getting a contract. So rather than the February, he told me in the November, I think it was. And obviously, my dream was crushed, but with what he took away with one hand, he offered me something with the other. But again, it was down to my mentality, whether I took it or not. You know, do I look at him in the eye and say, well, thanks very much, but no, I'm going to prove you wrong. Or what I did, I saw it as a great opportunity to stay involved with him, what in my opinion is the greatest football club in the world, whilst playing non-league football.
Fantastic. Well, it's fascinating stuff, and we wish you well with the book, guys. Thanks ever so much for coming in today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stephen Gerrard, Michael Owen and Me by Mike Yates with Keith Miller is available now. It's Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport.